It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning and welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we are in the heat dome. And if you haven't felt a little stress from that, then you're lucky, because we had a big barbecue earlier this week, and it was right in the dead of that heat. And we'll talk about that a little later in the show, but it was sweaty. It was a sweaty deal, but we got her done. So that was good. And but even the pool, Bob, I don't know about yours, but my pool's like 87 degrees right now, and that's just a little too warm. I'm not complaining, right? Don't get me wrong. I got a pool.
Was that after you jumped in?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
No, it was emptier.
There were three ladies in bikinis in there. That's why it got hot. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, so it... if you've got a place, a respite, you use it. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, babe?
Kind of sounds like the Villages to me.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is still the smokiest show on the airwaves. Check us out at thegrillingguys.com. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook if you want to see wacky pictures of meat spinning on a rotisserie, which is the latest.
Yeah. Yeah, that was we pulled that off too. What do I got in my pocket?
Yeah.
That would be Bob pulled that off.
That's okay. Yeah. But also, when you're on that grillingguys.com, check out all those great sponsors on the right hand side. They're keeping us on the air and they love it when you purchase from them. But better than that, we have vetted these people for over 10 years and they're just reliable. They're honest. They sell great products.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think of us, all of them actually, but in particular Thermapen. I used my Thermapen so much in the last couple weeks that I can't imagine why I don't have 10 and I've only got two.
I got one. And I had two and I gave one away to a guy that was very interested in getting much better at his grill game. And so he's a great friend of the family.
I did the same thing.
And I gave him one. I just said, hey, look, this will make all the difference in the world to you if you just learn to use it.
You remember the first ones they sent us.
Yeah.
And I kept the one with the flames on made you really mad.
Yeah, right. That was cool.
I gave that one to my brother-in-law, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was helping him up his game. And now I'm down to two, and I hope ThermoWorks is listening because we're ready for some new ones.
Yeah, and I use their timers and their multiple probe units as well. When I'm cooking multiple butts and briskets, and we use that big trailer smoker we have, and it's an offset, and the heat on the back of the grate is much hotter than the heat on the front of the grate.
As they all are, it's always that way. So it's a great idea to have those remote sensors. Want to give a big shout out to Chef Dewey, who Jop was wise in his planning of this, and he had enough of us in there that. He realized he needed a chef to actually run the show, and I think Chef Dewey managed things very well. But also a big shout out to the brewmeister Chaz, who did a hella job on the pizza because he was slinging pizzas at the very end when we were all done cooking. Everybody wanted a pizza to go, and he was stuck there making pizzas.
Yeah, so I had an event for my work, and I assembled the A team to step in and do all the cooking, and I had the wonderful pleasure of just watching it all happen. And Jeff Dewey, he has his own catering company. If you ever have an opportunity to hire him, do not take a pass. This guy is super talented. He made stuff look so great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you that there's always a fail when you do one of these things.
Always.
And I failed to overcook. I overcooked, which was the fail, the salmon. And it dried out.
Oh, no.
Okay. But it was sockeye.
And
if you smoke sockeye, there's a white fat. It looks like milk. That comes out of the sockeye salmon.
All salmon has that.
I understand, but the sockeye is really fatty. I mean, that's why people love it. Is there's, but that it wasn't appealing to the eye. So being the idiot that I am, I cooked it till it cooked down a little bit, and then the salmon got dry.
Okay.
And so we were going to serve it on as a fillet. He decided to break it off in little bitty pieces and set it around in there so you could just grab a bite and not have to flake it off. And he made it beautiful, and it is just wonderful save.
So people did actually eat some?
Some, yeah, but not as much as they would have had it been cooked properly.
Well,
and that was my fault, not your guys.
But, you know, I discovered a really cool fix for that accidentally, and only because I don't like the flavor that the skin imparts on fish. Yep. So I fillet that thing off, I brine it, and then I put it on a soaked cedar plank, and that seems to absorb that milk.
Okay, so yeah, it goes down rather than up. Yeah,
it makes your presentation way much better.
Yeah, and I didn't. And I didn't. It had the skin on it because we were going to be handling it and putting it on trays
well,
and things. So,
you know,
but
what I like is the flavor that the cedar gives the salmon because it's not quite as funky that way.
That's right. That's right. So we had a few fillets left over. I over-ordered. And I didn't realize that it was going to get that much when I ordered 10 pounds of it. But anyway, long story short is we got a second run at it, and we're gonna do it better the next time because Chef Dewey gave me some tips, right? And and I guess the moral of the story is if you consider yourself a grilling guy, you're never too old to learn,
right?
Because I jacked that up. Now there were some other things that turned out fabulous, but that one got jacked up. So I always like to share. You know, there's room for growth everywhere we go.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. So I am saying goodbye to a brother-in-law who has cancer.
Yeah.
And he actually, they removed one of his legs because that's where it started, but it spread throughout his whole body. So this week I ran over to my sister's house and his house. He's there with hospice, and he's a big Baluk. He's a big Finlander. From the UP, he played football for Northern. He's an All-American football player. I mean, he was a great athlete and had an awful lot of fun with him. He's a very unpredictable fellow,
yeah.
And big enough that he can hurt you.
Yeah.
So I did what I used to do when I'd go over to my brother's, who was failing from Parkinson's, and they live close to each other in Grand Haven. But when I'd go see my brother, I'd stop by Sobey's and get some of that wonderful kielbasa.
Mm-hmm.
And he absolutely loved that kielbasa. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to go see my brother-in-law and sister, I'll bring them some kielbasa. So I did that. But I didn't grill it because it was really hot, and I didn't know the shape of his grill. And you know, so I just baked it, and I got some nice sides. This jalapeno cheddar potato salad they have.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I love that. Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. And I love their five bean salad. It's just old school. I'm old. And what else did I get? Some dips. And I got Teresa's wonderful kapusta.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a total Polish treat. And, of course, he couldn't eat anything. He hasn't eaten in about 10 days.
Ooh.
He hasn't drank anything in that long either, so his body is failing. And he did know I was there though because I made him laugh.
Yeah,
he couldn't hardly open his eyes, but he laughed, and that was kind of worthwhile.
Sure, man.
And they've got wonderful hospice care, and it's actually the hospice. My sister is a nurse. She ended up working there her final 6 years in nursing. So shout out to all those hospice nurses. That's just a labor of love.
That's all it is.
You might need it someday.
Well, we probably all will at some point. I don't know about you guys, but I hope to go in my sleep easy.
Oh.
But it doesn't always happen that way.
You have a sleep easy?
Yeah.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to this whiner friend of mine who listened to the show some time back, and we were talking about something not grilling, and he thought, this is stupid.
Oh, really? Well, alert, this isn't all grilling. The premise of this is two guys standing on a deck talking while they're grilling.
There you go.
Okay, so there are other topics in this, but we try to focus on the grilling as much as we can. Well, coming up next, we're going to break down a couple of our recipes that we used at this big event on Monday that came together really well. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. You're going to get a couple really cool recipes. See you in a minute.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Now hit me!
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in. It's the weekend. I hope you're planning to get out and fire up a grill or a smoker. Seems like that's all I'm doing right now with events and family and people coming over. And, you know, it's a good time of year, but you can get carried away a little bit. But, Bob, we had a big event on Monday. If you're just tuning in, we talked a little bit about it in the first segment. But we had a big event for my work, and I assembled the A-team. Bob was there, Chaz was there, Chef Jeff Dewey was there, and Stan Ponstein, my buddy. All of these guys
we had a county commissioner there.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, he's the head of the Michigan Association of Counties. He's a poobah, okay. Baby. But no, these are guys that all love to cook, and they're really good at it. And it was amazing to watch it all come together because there's a lot of opinions and a lot of egos when you get that many really good guys together. But everybody took a spot. And right. Everybody, like Chaz did pizzas, Jeff did all our presentation stuff, Stan, you know, whatever. But we made this thing that's called a porchetta, and Bob was in charge of that. And so I'm going to turn it over to you, Bob, and you describe this thing and then maybe some of the challenges, but the success that came out of it as well.
Okay. And I forgot a little bit from the first segment that I wanted to bring in. And I wanted to mention the fact that I put out a post on the Grilling Guys saying I'm looking for a kitten because my mama kitty ran away. We have two outdoor cats, and they keep the rodents and all that stuff at bay. And with her gone, I mean, the chipmunks are so brave now, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But I did get lots of good feedback from our listeners. Thank you very much. And it reminded me of the cat story. So yeah. I told my sister while I was there about the wacky professor from Western who hated the cat story.
Right.
So, yeah, the porchetta, Randy's a good planner, and he was thinking, so he, knowing that we were going to do a recipe neither of us had ever done, he bought two of everything. That was a great idea.
Right.
Because on Father's Day, I did my first one, and I used the recipe, but I cut the salt in half because it looked really heavy.
Yep.
Well, it was. And even cutting it in half, it was too heavy. So I tweaked it the next day and went way lower on the salt. And how did the porchetta turn out Monday?
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was.
I mean, it was, explain, because I don't think it's a dish that many people know about.
No, so explain what it is.
No,
so I also really liked what the lemon zest did. So I went heavier on the lemon zest because it's pork. It's really a durable meat. You can do a lot with
right.
pork belly and then, of course, the loin. Butts are the same way. You can abuse the butts and they'll still come out great. But the porchetta is a pork belly with the skin on. Now, if you've never handled a pork belly with the skin on, the first thing you're going to have fun with is there's nipples on it. So it's like, wow, this is weird.
Where did this show go? What happened to my Grilling Guys?
So you have to have a really sharp knife. And then score that skin.
Right.
And go around the nipples.
Right, yeah.
Oh.
And I went about
it. Hey, I'm pretty sure there's not a show on the airwaves that are talking about pig nipples except us.
So you go about a quarter inch deep, and I did it in a diamond pattern, of course, right. like a ham or anything like that. And the second day that I did it, the one for your event, I was very, very careful. I think I scored it about perfectly. And then I was also much more careful with my butterfly, because the first one that I was butterflying, I used the wrong knife, and it, you know, it was a crappy butterfly job.
Okay.
I was not proud of it. But
this, so you butterflied the loin that's on the,
yes,
that's
yes,
the second part of the
very nicely
recipe.
I made a beautiful blanket out of it.
Right.
So you take that the pig skin side, I actually salted it quite heavily too, and then I laid it on the skin side down, and I put this mixture of seasonings in there, as well as fennel tops and fresh parsley, because I grow it in the garden. And then I put the loin down, and lemon zest and lemon juice. And then I put the loin down. Oh, I also put a little Parmesan in there.
Oh, yeah.
For like a binder.
Yeah.
It actually did a nice job. And then I laid the loin down, did the same thing, went easy on the seasonings, put some nice fennel in there, some toasted fennel seed and all this stuff. And then I enlisted my wife to help me truss it, because it's really a two-man job,
mm-hmm,
if you want to do it properly. And I made sure it was trussed up with a lot of trussing.
So what he's talking about is he rolled it together, so now it looks like a jelly roll. You've got the loin on the inside and the belly on the outside, but it rolls together.
Nipples on the outside.
Right, yes. And you're going to get this thing that's a little bit bigger around than a softball, right?
Yeah, it was... it was probably 7 inches, maybe, by the time I got done, 6 inches. And I trussed it as tightly and carefully as I could. And then I drizzled some Tuscan EVO on it as it was basting, as it was...
on the rotisserie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I used that big stainless rotisserie. And I put... I'll put up another video of it, but it was... I have a hard time streaming back there, so... I did just take a live video, which I'll post, which will make a better, it'll give you a better view of it, because it is truly, and Jop and I have talked about this before, Jop always says you eat with your eyes first. When you see a big piece of meat like that spinning on a spit, it is, you get sucked in.
Yeah.
You get sucked in, because on Father's Day's example, I was trying to tell my boys to come back and take a look, because they want to swim and do all this other stuff with their wives. And I said, come on, guys, come on. This is a guy thing. It's Father's Day. Humor me. And they're like, okay. And then they came back to the barbecue hut, and they took a look at it, and it was like dead silence. They just kept staring. They stayed there for 15 minutes with me, and they didn't really want to leave that bed. And they're like, okay, this is going to be pretty tasty.
I know. If they hadn't been back there with their dad, they'd have stayed a half hour. But the meat captured them for 15 minutes, right?
Yeah. Probably. it is a wonderful reason to use your rotisserie, because especially if you're having people over, it's a great presentation, and it gets the anticipation up and get your appetite up.
So we'll post that on the Grilling Guys, so you can find it. It's called Porchetta.
Yeah.
We got to give a guy named Mad Jack some shout out there, because it was his recipe that we started with.
And he's the one that got us interested, because he, at the events we did with him, he always had one going.
Right.
But also then this one went for your event. I sliced it about a half inch thick in slices, and then I chopped those slices.
Right.
Mine, I did wider pieces, and it just doesn't go on a bun as well when they're too big of chunks, but I thought that that mixture you had was about perfect, and then somebody, I think Chef Dewey made a nice sauce for it. Somebody made a really nice sauce for it.
Yeah.
And boy, the people just... It was
a hit. People are asking me what it was.
They ate it all.
Right. They were really asking, like, wow, what is that? I've never had anything like that. And that was the exact reaction I wanted to get.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good.
And, you know, I'll give you credit, because I really doubted the necessity of it. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's a lot of work and blah, blah, blah. But in the end, it was worth it. And I will put that recipe on the website, as well as posting the video.
Yeah. Yep, because it's work, guys. I mean, this isn't something that's you can do in a half hour. This took a lot of prep, and I don't know, how long did you cook it for?
Probably 4 hours.
Yeah, right, on offset, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Coming up next, we're going to continue down those recipes that we did at this get-together. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit Garrett'sAppliances.com. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, appreciate you tuning in. I hope you're getting out in your backyard and firing up a grill today, even though it's in the high 80s, low 90s where you guys are. Later after the show today, I'm headed down to Fen Valley. It's their wine festival today where they open the vineyard. He's got the largest tasting room in America because his 90 acres of his vineyard are certified as a tasting room. So he's got six stations, and you try six of his different wines as you walk through the vineyard. Really cool venue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going on today. You can still go down there because it starts at noon and goes through. There's bands, there's food. You can buy wine by the glass. Really cool.
But make sure you tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Yeah, exactly. So one other item that I wanted to cover from this party that we did was called a chicken satay.
Tell me. What was that seasoning I was putting on there again?
It's a garlic.
No, but
salt,
what's the name?
You have to ask me because I get it.
I looked at Sobeys, I couldn't find it.
No, I get it at Costco. Stan Ponstein, one of the guys that was cooking,
Turned
me on to it.
Okay.
And I'll remember it after the show,
okay.
I'm sure. But it's a pre-mixed garlic, salt, and pepper.
It was really nice.
It is. And that's why I
sprinkled that on those. You had somebody put together all the skewers.
Yep.
And I think Stan did that. And then I sprinkled that on before I grilled them.
Yeah.
And then you had Chef Dewey, I think, make a peanut sauce,
which was with creamy Jif peanut butter, soy sauce, and basically he just kept thinning the peanut butter until it got a little bit runny so we could put it in a squirt bottle and kind of squirt it on top of those chicken satays when you got them done.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you should use Peter Pan.
Yeah, do you? But the thing is with those is that you can make those up. And Chaz was the one that skewered him up because I watched him do it as a line. We had 20 pounds of chicken there, and he was just slicing them in little strips. And then we ran them on a little 7-inch skewer, and you weave them on there. And then Bob seasoned them and grilled them off. It was super easy. You could make those a day ahead, a couple days ahead.
It was super smoky is what it was.
Right, yeah, exactly. But that's why we always
when you're standing
like,
at a grill that long in the heat,
right.
That smoke just goes in your face and just I was crying the entire night.
Yeah. It was hot. It was really hot. But the chicken thighs hold really well, and they're moist when you cook them.
Yep.
I would use that far more often than I'd ever use skinless, boneless chicken breast.
Yep.
It dries out too much. These thighs are great. And you cut them in little strips, wove them on the skewers, and you cook them. You could make those today
and
serve them tomorrow.
He used those flat skewers too, and that was kind of nice.
Yeah, I bought those because they got a little wider handle on the end of them. Yeah,
right.
Yep, exactly.
So, also did when I was at Sobeys picking up that Parkside kielbasa, I picked up a Sobeys side tri-tip, and I did that for my bride Thursday night. And I'll tell you what, I do love me a tri-tip, but I'm in the work mode at home. Finishing up the pool projects and trying to then finish my barn, I'm staying really busy, and I just didn't feel like standing at the grill too much or anything. So I literally took that tri-tip and cut it into chops, and I put some garlic EVO on it and some of that seasonella, and
which is herb salt.
Yep. Grilled them, and that's a nice way to do a tri-tip if you don't want to try and smoke it.
Right.
And I just didn't feel like firing up the smoker, but I had enough smoking.
Yeah. Tri-tip is a super flavorful piece of beef. You can't get it everywhere. I'm pretty sure you got to go to the butcher shop. I have them, and we get them from Sobeys, obviously, But I have two of them in the freezer right now that I bought one time when I was over there, got home, forgot I had them. A couple days later, it's like, oh, crap. So I just vac sealed them, froze them up. But that'll be coming out soon because it's those are a great piece of meat.
So another way to do a tri-tip, of course, is you can grill it offset, you can grill it direct, really low heat, or you can smoke it. And that's all intact. Without cutting it into chops, like I was talking about, you can just offset grill it. And it makes for another, again, I think half the fun Jop and I have, and maybe a lot of you have, is the presentation of that product when you get done, especially if you do it really well.
Right.
And if it's something you're good at, you do it even better because your friends are there. You want to make them, you know, just happy and full-bellied. And
it's a very lean piece of beef.
Yes.
And which is why you cook it slow.
And there's no grizzle in it.
No.
I mean, there's a couple little bitty veins of it, but, I mean, it's a cool cut, and I believe it's a chuck portion, and the flavor is fantastic.
Yep.
It is just fantastic. So if you want to slice it up into chops and grill it, it's the perfect steak to grill because it grills quickly, and you can serve it to anybody, and they're not cutting bone and fat off something.
Right. Yep.
So in terms of you know, your portions and everything, and I think it's around $10 a pound.
Right.
So it's still always better priced than some of your higher end steaks, but it's there's a good bang for the buck in a tri-tip.
You smoke one of these things off and then let it cool, and then you cut it on the bias in like 1/8-inch thick slices.
What he means is you cut it on an angle against the grain.
Right. And but about 1/8-inch thick slice. And you put that on just a little piece of French bread with
those baguettes you had the other day.
Without hardly anything else on it. And if you've got a little, you can get a little juice out
if
of the pan.
If it's garlic toast or anything like that.
My mouth's watering.
Yeah, it's
that
wonderful.
That is a wonderful, wonderful thing to eat.
So I had a couple of those little chops left over, and one of them got sliced up this morning and thrown in with some eggs
there
for breakfast, and it was pretty good keto breakfast.
Yeah, all right, keto. You go, Bob. Bob Keto.
So when you're doing a proper tri-tip, you'll notice it looks like one of those fancy new UFOs that's the V-shape.
They're more aerodynamic than the round ones.
Yeah, and so you got this sharp tip on the end, and then it goes back to it's kind of like the Space Force logo or the Pontiac logo, or you know, it's shaped like that. And that my point is that tip is going to get done a lot faster than the rest of it. So if you're a good griller, what you'll do is you'll come back about 1.5 inches on that thing and cut that tip off and eat it while you're grilling the rest of it. Because you don't want to overdo it.
Cook never goes hungry.
But you want to bring that to no higher than 135 in the center.
Right.
No higher. There's where your thermopen, your digital thermometer really comes in handy. Go to thegrillingguys.com, look at ThermoWorks, click on that logo, and they'll show you specials. I think they still have some of the gray ones left. And
The color of these things makes no difference,
no.
But for whatever reason, they're selling them for like half off because they're gray.
Yeah, but I got a letter from the lady over there, and she said, your customers love these gray ones.
Yeah.
It's like, great.
Yeah.
Send me a couple.
Cool. So, Bob,
should have been my response.
Yeah, my wife loves fajitas and steak fajitas, so there's a close to the tri-tips called a flat iron. Break that down a little bit for me because sometimes that's a little tough, and I'm not –
Yeah,
I'm 100% good on cooking that.
Yeah, and for fajitas, I would tell you a skirt is probably safer.
Okay.
But I had my first flat iron from Delsky's meat shop. Dave Delsky retired and sold it, but all butchers trim their meats differently. And what his opinion of a tri-tip is to not take the collagen off it, to leave it on there. If that's what you're going to do, and if you're going to get...
Tri-tip or flat iron?
Flat iron. Okay. Sorry.
Yep.
What did I say? So if your butcher leaves that collagen on top and fatty substance, diamond score that as well. Because otherwise, when you grill it, it's going to blow up like a puffer fish, and it looks really weird. But if you score it, it's going to look totally cool. And guess what? Collagen is really good for your skin.
Right.
So... fat is not your enemy. We've been lied to.
Right. Well, if it's my enemy, I'm living amongst my enemies.
Ouch.
Yeah, right.
Was that a shot?
No, it's a shot at me in the mirror is what that was. But,
wow.
But anyway, coming up next, we're going to take a little run at a pork butt. Bob and I had some debate about that earlier this week because I still wrap mine and you don't anymore. And I think there's some pluses and minuses to both. I know my minus is you don't like anything that's in foil. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. We're going to debate the butt when we come back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend, a hot one. Be careful out there. Hydrate. It's important to drink a bunch of water while you're outside doing stuff around this weekend because we're in the mid to upper 90s, and us people here in Michigan, that don't happen very often.
Well, you know, and I really am going to miss being with you guys today at the winery, but you know, my wife plans out her camping trips with her girlfriends for the summer, and there's like five of them now every summer. And I could not get her to cancel it. I really want to be down there with you guys because that would be such a great crew to go with. But Conrad showed us something pretty funny, and I've seen it all over the internet. There's a picture of the weasel, what's his name?
Chuck Schumer
at a grill. Acting like, oh, happy Father's Day. You know, he's just such a, Anyway, he's standing there at a grill, and he's got these hot dogs that look like they're grilled perfectly. If you look at the knobs of the grill, it's off. There's no smoke. And then he's got about five or six hamburger patties there that are raw, not smoking. And he has a piece of cheese on one showing you his grilling prowess.
Right.
It's like, it's just a typical politician. You know, why don't you put Mitt Romney up there and make everybody even sicker? It's like, get these weasels out of our faces. Sorry. That's my politics.
Yeah. Well, we know where you stand.
Pork butts.
Yes.
So it's an evolution for everybody when you do grilling. And for me in particular, a lot of this stuff I learned 20 years ago or more, and I just had habits that I just did. And so I'm kind of in the mode for some reason right now. I'm trying to break a bunch of paradigms and old habits that I did for no real reason. Like, why do you think you have to have a beer at the grill? No, that one I still do.
But that's not a paradigm. That's a law.
Yeah, they'll knock on your door and put one in your hand for
right,
you.
Right, yeah, that's grilling law.
Another thing I want to throw in was Jop was so nice that when I got done grilling, I really was spent. You probably could see it.
Right.
But I know Chef Dewey had to go home early because he was there earlier, and Chaz was absolutely spent by the end of the night. What a workhorse.
So hard to work in that heat.
Yeah, but yeah. Jop goes next door to the Fresh Market in Ada and bought me a beautiful bottle of scotch because I said—
No, it's bourbon.
I'm sorry, bourbon.
Yeah.
Because I said, man, when I get done here, I'm going to go next door and go shop for some bourbon. And the next thing you know, I see Jop slipping a bag in my truck. So that was very nice of you. Very thoughtful.
Well, everybody came together on that thing really well.
So pork butt secrets. Another thing I'm doing now that I'm older is I'm just telling all the secrets. Here's something that's really cool that helps your barbecue. And you made a comment about The wrap. Yeah, no, I don't wrap butts much anymore. I find that they're full of grease when I'm done, and they're really tough to handle. And it usually ends up on my legs because I'm pulling them out of the smoker, and they're dripping all over me. And I don't need to retain that grease for the moisture. If I want to rehydrate it with a little vegetable stock or chicken stock or beef stock or anything like that, pineapple juice, whatever. Orange juice is wonderful. A little hydration, that's fine, depending on what you're using the pork for. But what I did for this pig roast I did the last weekend is I cut all the butts in half. And what that does for you is it allows you to cook them a little bit faster.
Because they're not as big and massive right. and dense.
And yep. then they're all closer to the same temperature when you get done. Most importantly, you get to season more surface. And then if you have enough sugar in your seasoning, you get more bark. And what the people were commenting about at this gig I did, my family event, is they absolutely were killing each other for those darker pieces with the bark on them.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, that was the deal. And they're making comments like, oh my gosh, I had a piece with the bark on it. And I couldn't believe how good it was. It's just pork butt and a good blend. I made up a nice, I was very careful, very diligent, and made up my idea of a good rub, which was sea salt. Actually, it was kosher salt because I have a ton of it. And then white sugar because it blends better. And then onion powder and lots of paprika and powdered garlic because this stuff all blends nicely together. Now, you could do an aromatic or something if you wanted there, but you've got the basic, you know, quadrant of spices and then the salt and sugar. So, and there's also black pepper in there. And I was quite liberal with my use of it. I mean, I didn't spare it. And I'm telling you, the amount of bark that comes off when you do it that way just works out so much better. So I thought I would share that over the air because I think it's important that people just get the best technique and the best product.
So,
and I'm not going to hold it in my vest pocket, you know, because that's just not who I want to be.
Yeah. So conversely, I cook a lot of pork. I sell it by the pound to people if they don't want a whole barbecue or something like that. And at about, I use a commercial seasoning, right? I don't make my own. I just buy a good barbecue seasoning with, like you said, it's got sugar, it's got garlic, it's got salt, it's got pepper in it, and paprika as well. So those are the like the four or five things that are, in my mind, in a good seasoning. But cover them liberally, and I always use boneless pork butts because, like you, they open up in the middle. They've removed the bone. Somebody took time to remove that shoulder bone out of there. So you got a lot more surface to season, right?
Same deal, basically.
Yeah, right. But I cook them to about 145 about 155 degrees, and then I pull them off and I wrap them in foil, and then I put them back on and bring them up to 195 to 200, whatever number you like. And then when I take them off, there's juice inside that foil packet. That juice is grease and fat, yep, is really what it is. And as you said,
and
as
a
you
certain take amount them, of water too.
Right, yeah. As you said, you take them off the grill. They drip, so you're going to make a mess. So don't do it in the middle of your driveway. Right. Get out where there's a little bit of grease on the ground, doesn't matter. And then when I unwrap them, there's a liquid, we'll call it, because it's hot. And when I pull them, I mix all of that in. Now, when I open up the butt, because I had it in foil, there's a fat cap on every butt, right? And I don't even season the fat cap because I know I'm going to pull it off there. Nobody wants that in their mouth. The fatty, you know, it just doesn't dry out. It doesn't cook. It's there. So I'll set that butt with the meat side down and the fat side up, and I just take with my rubber glove and I scrape it right to my other hand. And I've got maybe a quarter inch of that fat cap that's left usually, and I scrape it right off and throw it right in a trash can. so that, that's off
give
of there.
Give the coons something.
Right, yeah. But at the end, yeah. Or don't do that on a Monday when your trash day's on Friday.
Oh, well, there's all kinds of garbage stories we can tell.
But anyway, I take that fat cap off of there, and then the remainder of the liquid is mixed in with the leaner
meat. And that's, I believe, how we've always taught it over the years. I switched over to butcher's wrap because of my dislike for the chemical side of aluminum. Then I decided that I don't know for pork butts if it's all that important. I still do wrap my
beef?
Brisket.
Brisket, yeah.
Sure, it was kind of a Biden moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. He froze on me.
I do still wrap my brisket.
Right.
And probably always will because that's leaner. In terms of when you're talking about that fat, when you don't wrap those butts and you're finishing them off, that fat cap is pretty much eviscerated when you're cutting it into pieces. So that kind of takes care of itself, and it's all in the bottom of the smoker now.
Right, but when you wrap them, it's contained.
It doesn't quite break that down as well.
Right,
for some reason, I guess because it's sitting in its own
juice
mess.
And it can't go anywhere. You know, anyway.
But yeah, so I get that. To each his own, and there's lots of ways to do that. But you mentioned the bark, and I think the bark, when you don't wrap, the bark is just so nice.
Oh, it's so much better.
People were just fighting over
it. You really don't get bark when you wrap because that hydration, that the juice coming out of there kind of takes the bark away. The flavor's there, but the texture's not.
You give it a steam bath is what you do, and it rinses a lot of it off. Yep.
Boys, exactly. We got about 15 seconds to wrap up the show.
Okay. All right. So, hey, if you're a new listener, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, and make some grill envy in your neighborhood, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.